Hey everyone, Pastor Harv here. Thank you for tuning in today. I hope this message blesses you with hope and energizes your walk with Jesus Christ. Share this with someone today and spread the joy to those in your life. Stay tuned to the very end. Let's jump right into the Word.
I don't know why on that last song in that key of, I believe it was E flat, that just an old song came to my mind. There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. There's a part of that song that says, the big ships don't sail that way anymore. But I thank God for the lighthouse. Man, He's always been there, always shining on His people. He gives us direction and guidance, and with Him we are safe, and we are saved. If you've ever been healed in this house, if you've ever had a child healed, would you lift your hands to the heavens right now, and would you praise God for miracles? Praise God for His healing touch. I remember in 2012, the doctors could not diagnose it in my life. Every time I went to the doctor, I was normal. Or as close as you can get, I guess. And finally, one morning, I got out of the bed, and I put my hands on my knees, and for about 10 or 15 seconds, I couldn't catch my breath. And I told Kelly, I said, I'm going to the doctor. And I went to the doctor, and they said, we can't get you in till 10 o'clock. I said, okay, I'll go to the hospital and make a visit. I went to the hospital on the third floor, I believe it was room 315, and there was a lady in our church. She was about 80 years old, and she was in that bed. She was as feisty and had faith like nobody's business. I never dreamed that before the day was over, she would be out of that bed discharged, and I would be in that bed, in that very room. And my heart was, my rhythm was irregular. My heart was fairly healthy, but I ended up going to the Cleveland Clinic in Cleveland, Ohio, and they said, there's, of course, one of three things can happen. You'll either get better, you'll stay the same, but a lot of people get worse, and their heart function declines, and it was already not like it should be. But God touched me, and I remember I had that procedure. Kelly calls it a surgery. I've never been able to call it that. It was a pinprick, but they ran a light up into my heart, and they repaired my rhythm. But I believe that God gave me the strength to come all the way back and do what it is I've been called to do for Him. We are healed by the same God that saves us. We are healed by the same God who imparts salvation to us. And He loves you today, and there's nothing beyond His care and beyond His touch. Is Rhonda here? Did Rhonda make it? Rhonda Massey, so good to have you back. She had surgery a few weeks ago, and we're glad you're here today, and we love you. I want to talk to you about the cost of revival. Remain standing for the reading of God's Word. Really, the cost of renewal. And if I could subtitle this, I would call it, I Can't Sit Through This Anymore. And some of you may have said that to your companion or your friend about a particular sermon that I preached in the past. I can't sit through this anymore. But turn to your neighbor and tell them, say, this may not be for me, but it just might be for you. I may not need this today, but it may be just what God ordered for you. You need to listen. You need to pay attention. I want to speak the heart of God, and my goal is not to alienate you, not to make you angry with me, but it is for you to hear the word of the Lord. We talked about the love of God last week. So let's talk about conviction this morning. Go with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 14, verse 1. And the word says, now some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. should I let myself be inquired of at all by them? Should I even listen? Therefore, speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, every one of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may seize the house of Israel. Therefore, say to the house of the Lord, repent, turn from your abominations, turn from your idols, turn your faces away. For anyone of the house of Israel or of the strangers who dwell in Israel, who separates himself from me and sets up his idols in his heart, and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, then comes to the prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. Am I a little loud out there? I feel like I'm a little loud up here. Father, I pray that you would anoint your word. Now, God, if we don't need reminding, if we're in a proper altar state with you, a proper place of prayer with you, a proper place of relationship with you, then, God, we will indeed pray for others, that our brothers and our sisters are strengthened and made whole. But God, today, should we need to hear the voice of conviction, a voice of reminding, a voice of sanctification, a voice that guides us back toward the Father's house, then God, I pray that today is that day and that message is for us and that we would receive it and humbly make our way back to you in Jesus' name. And the body said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I think today that we are a people in the presence of a mighty God. I feel like today that God has spoken to my heart, and this message is, though it is represented by what is corporate, and it may be more personal than it is corporate. Israel had lost access to God, but in losing access to God, it began with the individual. It began with a heart. It began with a man, or it began with a woman. In 1937, the largest airship ever built at 7,063,000 cubic feet, 803 feet in length, 135 feet in diameter, made its way across the Atlantic Ocean. This incomparable airship, known as the Hindenburg, made 54 flights, 36 of those flights across this same Atlantic Ocean. There was no indication of the abnormal. Controls seemed to work like they had always worked. Wind conditions signaled no reason for alarm. Their destination lay just in sight. They could see Lakehurst, New Jersey. But all of a sudden, the Hindenburg approached its destination, and as it did, it burst into catastrophic flames with a hydrogen-filled gas bag exploding, and it killed 36 people. Experts believe that a bomb had been placed on board indeed and had been carefully and strategically put there as a result of a political conspiracy. The answers, the reasons why, may have indeed been found in Germany or in America or in Adolf Hitler or in traitors to the Allies. But the cause, the effect, the agent for this fatally destructive explosion was indeed, had to be, on board that ship. It was indeed within their physical grasp. They could reach out and touch it. It was not beyond their ability to reach it. They were so close to the root of their own problem, yet somehow they could not identify it and could not get to the source or the root of the problem. If only they had known where to look. Wind conditions have not changed for the church of the living God this morning. The Holy Spirit, the fresh wind of God, the Ruach of God still blows today. There is still a fresh anointing. There is still a direct connection to heaven. There is still Jesus involved in the life of the church through the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe, that came on the day of Pentecost. There is no one like him. It will propel us. He will propel us to places beyond our wildest dreams. And he always shows us where to look. These elders sat before Ezekiel. Where is our palatial prosperity? Where is our source of supplement, our nest egg of nourishment? Where did we lose our sword that we cannot find it and we cannot fight our walls, that we cannot defend ourselves? Ezekiel, we desperately need answers and opportunity. We need power. We need something to ignite us once again. We need an ear to hear and an eye to see. Ezekiel, you're the man to give it to us as we sit in your presence. But God gives Ezekiel an answer that they don't want to hear. Rebellious Israel, your sin is as close as your hand in front of your face. Your sin is not to the left, your sin is not to the right, but it is squarely and directly and ominously in front of you. You can't be taught, you can't be moved. As a matter of fact, Israel, your sin is inside of you. You have created a spiritual Hindenburg. And he said, I am the Lord your God, and it is incumbent upon me to give you revival. But anyone can have revival. God is looking to a nation and a people that genuinely seeks after the heart of God and longs for renewal that goes beyond a Sunday morning and a revival experience, a renewal that changes the heart, the mind, and the attitude and the very soul of an individual to burn once again with the passion and the heat and the glory of a holy God that must direct our everyday living in every way so that we reap the benefits of his every blessing. He said, I am the way, I am the Lord, and it is incumbent upon me. But renewal never comes to a group of men on their seats in the presence of a man, but real revival and real renewal comes to men on their knees in the presence of a holy and the righteous God. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and what? And pray. It is not a secondary ministry. It is not something we do before service just to prove a point. It is not a tool of manipulation. It is not less important than the choir and less important than the pastor. It is not less important than Celebrate Recovery or the cafe on Sunday morning. If we will pray, God said that he will hear from heaven himself. Prayer creates presence. In Exodus 34:26, Moses said this. God spoke to him and he said, my presence shall go with you. And Moses said, God, if your presence doesn't go, I won't go either. If I can't find your presence, I can't find your will. If I can't find your presence, I can't find your help, and I can't find your voice, and I can't find your direction for my life. Psalms 16:11, the word said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. I remember being 15 and 16 years old. I didn't know if they were living right or not. I hope they were. But I'd crank up the Imperials about as loud as I could get away with in my room. And I'd listen to songs like Praise the Lord. When you're up against a struggle, it shatters all your dreams. I'd pick up a hairbrush. I'd probably look like a girl. I don't know, but I was singing in the mirror, but I'd feel the presence of God walk into that room. I'd feel the Holy Spirit. No one had to prompt me. I didn't go in there because my dad was a pastor. Oh, God, give us a desire just for your presence again. More than we desire the presence of Saban. More than we desire the presence of Auburn. More than we desire the presence and approval of this man or that woman. We need the presence of God in his house. God said, you want everything but my presence. Isaiah 64 and 1 said, mountains will tumble down and nations will tremble in the presence of God. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, times of refreshing come from where? The presence of the Lord. It was in Jude, verse 24, that said, we are kept from falling and presented faultless when we stand in the glory of the presence of God with exceeding joy. Everything, every circumstance is not perfect in my life this morning, but I can walk into this house and I can feel and embrace the presence of God, and I have joy because he's in control. Things happen in the presence of God. Cancer is broken in the presence of God. Broken homes, idolatry can never be really healed anywhere but in the presence of God. Drug addiction can't be broken anywhere else really but in the presence of a holy God. The chains of oppression and the chains of depression are broken in the presence of this great God. It was Ezekiel 14 verse 7 said, for everyone that comes to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, am going to answer him myself. When you walk into the room, everything changes because God is present in the place of prayer and the place of heartfelt worship. Amen? You don't need an answer from anyone else. You need an answer from God. God says, stop trying to sneak in the back door. If you want me, ask for me. And when it comes to the truth, don't ask for the truth if you're not ready to hear it. Don't ask for the truth if you don't want to know the truth. And the truth is not an option. It's not a selection that's any different on Tuesday than it is on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. The word said that if we will know the truth, that the truth will make us free in his presence and in our everyday living. So the problem is on board. And the problem is that too many things have kept us from the presence of the Lord. I don't know if you've ever glanced at your phone. I just thought of this. And it shows you how many hours you spent on social media that day. I don't do it. I mean, I probably three times in my life because I don't, every time I'm shocked. I'm like, no, I did not. I argue with my own phone. No, I did not. So many things have kept us from his presence, and they keep us. Too many things have taken the place of Christ at the center of our lives. And too many things have distracted us from caring and waiting in an upper room for the Spirit of God to blow upon us. And the problem now is because we don't have access to his presence, we've lost access to our sword. And we can't fight, and we don't know how to fight, and we don't want God. This is what the scripture is saying, literally. We don't want God in our faces about anything, because if God gets in, if it's God and we don't like it, we don't let him have that access to it, it's easier to blame the pastor. It's easier to blame your wife. It's easier to blame the church. It's easier to blame someone else. But God said there are times when I want to get in your face and discuss some things with you. Yeah. We don't want anything to convict our souls or challenge our hearts from the harvest. The word said they sat in the presence of a man. God said you won't ever find your sword. You won't ever fight again if you can't get off your seats. And you can't get to sin in your life if you're sitting in so much of it that Satan has dulled your sensitivity to what it feels like. Right. Scientists and doctors have found that sitting too long affects your heart. For some, it's just sitting on a chair in a sanctuary on Sunday. For some, it's sitting on what God has called you to do. For some, it's just sitting, period. Transit drivers who sit, and there are conductors on a train that don't. Transit drivers are twice as likely to develop heart disease as those who are willing to stand. I need someone in this house right now under the unction of Almighty God who is willing to stand up and say, if I sit too long, it might affect my heart. Can I get one person who will stand up right now, right where you are, and say, God, I won't let this sitting affect my heart any longer. I'm putting my heart before you today, and I will stand. I was looking for one, but I got 100. Thank you. If I sit too long, it may affect the heart of the church. I'm sitting in church every Sunday, Pastor. You're looking at me. So you are being moved into the church, but you refuse to be moved into action. God's presence is all around me, but there is no ministry in my heart. There's superiority in my heart, and there's condemnation in my heart, and there's accusation in my heart. But would somebody just give me one person once again that will stand up so that Summerton never loses its heart? Amen. Doctors tell us so it is that scientists, physicians have found that sitting will shorten your life. If we want to go anywhere at Summerton Church, if we want to do anything for the kingdom of God, we cannot sit on it. We've got to get up, we've got to have movement, we've got to have life. We've got to have those that are willing to be equipped and those that are willing to be equippers. I'm talking to some people in this house, the call of God's on your life to teach. Embrace that call. The calling of God is on your life to lead a life group, a small group, and to I don't mean just to have some cake and pudding and punch. I'm talking about real discipleship where you pull the word out and the word is. Scientists found that. Doctors have found that sitting makes dementia. Makes dementia more likely. So I once knew. I once knew what it was for God to move on me. But I forgot. Can I get one person who will stand up and say, Pastor, I'll stand up. I'll stand up so that Summerton never ever forgets. Had it not been the Lord that was on my side, where would I be? Where would I be? Would somebody stand up today so that we never forget? And we never forget what real salvation looks like. There's intelligence here, but have we forgotten what salvation means? Have we lost what a harvest field smells like? Can somebody stand up so that lost people will never be forgotten. Anybody, give me one person, just one. So that lost people will never be forgotten. So that lost people will never be forgotten. Sitting causes the risk of diabetes to rise. The way the body reacts to insulin, the hormone that burns sugar and carbs so that we can have energy to stand. So in other words, I appear to be sweet. I could give an altar call right there. I appear to be icing on your cake every time you see me. But my energy is for everything but the kingdom. Sitting, believe it or not, causes anxiety to rise. So I am sitting in his presence, but I think everyone in the house is out to get me. I'm sitting, my anxiety is rising, but everyone's against me. No one wants me to have favor. No one wants me to have access to ministry. And listen, just because you've been told in a loving, kind, gentle way, just because you've been told no, does not mean you're being attacked. I know because Kelly tells me no. Sometimes. Not because someone else has a little different approach than you do. It does not mean they are against you. The word said they sat in the presence of a man. Where is our power, Ezekiel? Where is our connection? Why don't we have a defense system? I came to remind somebody that the power of the church is no less available than it was on the day of Pentecost. The strength of the sword and the wonder of the word will never leave us if we get back to the word of the living God. The name of Jesus Christ is still above every name, and his power is greater than any force or power on the face of the earth. Hey. Can someone declare that name? Can I hear it out loud today? Would somebody just declare his name? Declare his name. Methodist background, I don't care. Baptist background, I don't care. Church of God, declare the name of Jesus. Acts 17, 18, declared in him. I might have needed this a little longer than I realized. In him, we live and move and have our being. That's what the word declares, Wayne. Acts 2, 14, Peter, who denied him three times, cursed his name. Peter stands up with the 11. If God can get one person who's been redeemed and forgiven and brought all the way back to simply stand up and declare the glories of the Lord. The word said that when Peter stood up, the 11 stood up with him. One who's been filled to overflowing, one who has left the tomb of yesterday, he will lead others to stand up with him. Give me a board at Summerton Church of God that is willing to stand up for what is right and not what is always convenient or easy. Give me leadership. Give me Philip Walker, who cares about living for God more on Monday and Tuesday even than he does on Sunday morning. Give me Nicole Walker that stands by his side. We were able to spend a couple of days with him at the prayer conference and it encouraged me. I woke up this morning thinking about the life that they live and the faith that they have in God and how that we can sit at a table and commune and be joined together in spirit and be encouraged by the word. If I'll stand up, then I can encourage him to stand up. If you'll stand up, someone else will stand up with you if you'll stand up for the right things. Peter lifted up his voice. Your voice has no power until it focuses on what is right. You men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hear my words. You know the scripture, say it with me. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Your servants and your handmaidens shall prophesy. A lot of people, they don't have a problem with the pastor prophesying. They just don't want a servant girl to do it. He said, in the last days, I'll raise them up from every direction. I'll raise them up from every age group. I'll raise up the old and I'll raise up the young. The old, I want to tell you, I found out that sometimes if we're not careful, we progress. We move through childhood, we progress. If we're not careful, we regress. I've heard some 85-year-olds that sound like they're 5-year-olds. And sometimes worse, because they're supposed to know better. And we regress. But God said, I'm going to raise up his word. This, do you believe this is his word? Ezekiel, what's our problem? He said, you've got to have a move of God. You've got to let God get in your face and be willing to say some things to you that moves you to the place that you're no longer just sinning and just getting by. There has to be an awareness of his presence. They may not even know that they want to, but I'm praying for my son, Dylan. I'm praying for my daughter-in-law, Kristen. I'm praying for my daughter, Sarah. I'm praying for them to prophesy. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God resides in that young man right up there, Darnell. I'm praying for Darnell to prophesy whether he wants to or not. I'm praying for Judy Beavers to prophesy. I'm praying for Sote Kloto Bahasheta. I'm praying for those that have committed incredible sin, that have turned their back on God and walked away to walk back again. And when they come back, they have as much or more authority than anyone else in the room. Why? Because their connection with God is real. Your finger on the problem. In verse 2, tell somebody, I'm glad we made it out of verse 1 alive. I'll close in a moment. Verse 2, Ezekiel is this man of God, and as soon as they sat down, God has a word for Ezekiel. I'm not sure that we still believe that God has a word for a man if it's contrary to our opinion. God says, should I even let myself be inquired by them after? God said this in verse 4. He said, I'm about to answer them according to the multitude of their idols. I'll give them answers according to the way that they have responded to me. You know, you don't ever want to get to that place, Pastor Sergeant, where God says, you know, I can't see you today. I'm sorry, I can't hear you today. We don't ever want God to respond to us like so many times we respond to him. I have so much more that I want to leave you with a word of hope this morning. I don't ever want to speak a word of condemnation. I do hope to speak a word of conviction at times, because I've found out that sometimes And I don't know, because it may be because of you that we have great liberty, or it may be because of you that we have a great wall. There are times I preach the message multiple days in this auditorium when it's empty. I had a liberty in this house yesterday. Maybe I needed the message. Maybe I was preaching to myself. But I want to close. I want you to understand today that there is always hope and there is always help and that there is still a fire in the heart of those who will believe. The last two verses, 22 and 23, in this chapter said the word comfort is given. Comfort is from the word comforter. And God said in verse 22, he said, yet behold, there shall be left a remnant, a generation not influenced by sinning parents, that shall be brought forth. I've kept them hidden. You don't see them right now, both sons and daughters. Does that sound familiar from that scripture in Acts, that scripture in Joel? Both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and you shall see their way, and you shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem. Verse 23, they shall comfort you, and you shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done. God said, I am ready to birth what has not been seen. I am ready to bring forth something, an element of my power and my glory, a dimension, a time frame that you've never witnessed before in your life. Aren't you thankful that every day is a new day? I'll share this little story. On the continent of Africa, when the lions first began to attack missionaries, and the native people, they attacked with such ferocity that there was great bloodshed and terror and the loss of many lives. Obviously, they needed an approach to counteract the attack. And their first response, what God looking for? He's looking for a response. They would gather big pots and pans, and they would beat those pots and pans with heavy sticks, and the noise was terrific. And when the lions would inch in, all of a sudden they would back up. But after a season or so went by, the same lions would resurface, and they realized that it was just a lot of noise. And that's when the missionary said, why don't we do this? What are you saying, Pastor? I'm telling you that everything I try may not always work. Our intentions may be good, but it may not always work. But the missionary said, build a fire. And this time when the lions would get close, it wasn't just a lot of noise, but they could feel the heat of the fire. We can spend our lives making a lot of noise, but don't we want people, when they walk through the doors of this church and they drive into this parking lot and they step through the doors of our school, to somehow understand and realize that we're more than just a bunch of noise? Right. That there's some depth to who we are. There's some character to who we are. There's some fire about who we are. Right. Stand with me this morning. Father, today in Jesus' name, I pray, God, that as we examine our hearts and our lives before you and put ourselves in front of a spiritual mirror, that we would do more than just sit on our hands in the presence of the Creator of the universe. That, God, we would be motivated and encouraged by all that Christ did on the cross and the power of the resurrection to walk out of tombs and walk out of places of death and walk out of, God, death that we've spoken over all our own lives through negativity, through this and through that. God, help us to speak the word of God. Help us to speak the life of God. Help us to trust you today for the life of God. And that we apply the blood of Jesus Christ, that because he died and he rose again, he overcame death, hell, and the grave and ascended unto the Father and is seated at his right hand. God, somehow today we have authority to overcome in our lives, to speak the word of God in hope and life, trusting that you'll fulfill it in every facet of our being. In the name of Jesus, with heads bowed and eyes closed. Can I have one person that will take that next step and say, Pastor, I'm willing to take a look at me. I'm willing to stand for myself, but I'm also willing to stand for my family, and I'm willing to stand for my church. I've been seated too long, far too long, and today I'm willing to stand again. If God could speak that to your heart, if you could just be real open and real honest with him, could you step out of your aisle and come meet me in this altar today? Could I get anyone that says, Pastor, I'll stand for this church. I'll stand for my... Pastor, I'm good on Sunday, but I have a real tough time not sitting down on Monday. I have a real tough time not sitting down on Wednesday and Thursday. I'm pretty good at standing when it's easy, but I have a real tough time standing when things get difficult. Thank you. Holy Spirit, I love you. I praise God, just speak to our hearts from the front to the back, the in between. God, speak to our hearts today, right where we are. God, I can't sit through this any longer. I can't. I'm not looking for a man. I'm not looking for a method. I'm not looking for this avenue or that avenue. God, I just want you. With all of my heart today, I just want you.
Well, I hope you were blessed and inspired somehow by today's message. Here at Summerton Church of God, we believe that God still does the miraculous. We are seeing people's lives changed and transformed, healed and delivered, all to the glory of this incredible God. We want you to experience that for yourself and for your family. Why don't you be our guest one Sunday right here at Summerton Church? I look forward to personally seeing you.